going to, in some way, back her up. We're going to find out. I think the star has done a lot of work with the skull. Now, Joanne is in Texas, and Star is in Missouri. So all of that is just ahead on Dreamland. And as I listened to the open, I thought, I was hearing phrases of my own, like, the air we breathe, and things that can be put in a box, and things that can't. I thought, Alpine, that's the air we breathe, and it comes in a pair. Of course, we will find the world's expert on crop circles, and animal mutilations, and has branched out really into other areas of UFO-related phenomena. Linda Moulton Howe. Linda, welcome to the program.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Well, you know, those recordings of that alleged Bigfoot scream near Snohomish, Washington, that I played again last weekend, were heard by another Dreamland listener who lives in central Utah. She said that she could not believe that in the week after hearing the alleged Bigfoot screams on Dreamland, she heard the same kind of sound near her Utah mountain home. She has asked to remain anonymous, but allowed me to record an interview with her about the sounds in an area of central Utah where friends of hers also encountered a Bigfoot-like creature in 1992.
All right.
I will call her Mrs. Smith, and here now are excerpts from this week's interview.
All right. Mrs. Smith.
I listened to your recording, and I just thought, well, that's interesting. I've heard that before on the tape, okay, that I had a friend given to me years ago. And I thought no more of it. Then we went to our property, and we were just working around there. And that evening, we went to bed, and it was about 11 o'clock, and we heard this sound. And I thought I recognized it, but then I paid no attention to it, and we just went about our business. And I went to bed, and this creature, whatever it is, squealed all night long into the morning. And so then morning came, and I told my husband, asked him if he had heard the sound, and he said, yes, and it went all night. And I said, well, that was Bigfoot. Well,
in that same central Utah area 3 years ago, a family of five that she knows had a face-to-face encounter with a Bigfoot-looking creature while deer hunting. The family doesn't want to be interviewed either for radio, but Mrs. Smith remembers what happened.
Well, they saw this big buck, and it was just frozen, like it was suspended. And I told them that I just understood that when Bigfoot comes around, that it, the animals just freeze. And she said that's how they perceived everything around there, like everything was in a frozen state. And so she shot the buck, and she and her husband and her children got out, and they proceeded to gut the buck. And then they felt like something was staring at them. And so they turned and looked, and here they thought this great huge bear was hunched over. And it stood up, and it was a Bigfoot. It was about 100 to 200 feet from them. And he was staring right at them, and he said the arms dangled way down past the knees. And when he turned to look at each of the family members, he turned from his waist, his upper torso turned. And they described how it looked, how it had the hair on the face, how the eyes had hair except for, you know, where the pupils and things are. And then that was it. But they just said it was about 8 feet taller. And that was about it. Now they said it had between a dark and a brown hair. And then he turned and went up the mountainside, and they just stood there frozen, and they just couldn't believe what they had seen. And then finally they collected their faculties together, and the girl went over and looked at the footprints because they had just snowed, and she just said they were enormous. And I said, oh my gosh, why didn't you take a picture or something? And so they came down into the camp, and when they came into the camp, they told their friends about it, and of course their friends didn't believe them. And then they went back the next day, and there was a deer there, and she thought it was very unusual because the left hem of the deer had been cored out.
Now, Art, historically, Bigfoot have been associated with animal mutilations in which rectums have been cored out as well as other excisions since going back to at least the early 1970s. And in one famous case near Elizabeth, Colorado, used to Colorado Springs, a rancher watched a huge, hairy Bigfoot creature run from the pasture and knock down a section of fence around his ranch house. This was investigated by several scientists, and it was reported to the sheriff there. I talked with the sheriff and deputy when I was working on my documentary, A Strange Harvest, about this incident where this big, huge, they estimated above 8 foot tall, hairy creature had literally run into the fence, knocking it down, and the big creature ran across the yard. And not far from there, at that same time period, two cows had been found dead with their rectums cored out and other typical excisions of tissue associated with unusual animal deaths, raising, again, that issue, is there some connection between these creatures and maybe some of the mutilations?
Sure.
And in one of the strangest Bigfoot cases on record, the Cascade County Sheriff's Office in Great Falls, Montana, had a 1976 file on a rancher who was out hunting and encountered a creature at least 8 feet tall with reddish brown hair, and in this case, the eyes were reported to be glowing red.
Mm.
The rancher shot at this Bigfoot creature, and it disappeared in a flash of light, and that sentence was officially recorded in the Cascade County Sheriff's file.
Wow.
Yeah, what is it that could disappear in a flash of light? And at the same time, the Cascade County Sheriff's Office was flooded with animal mutilation reports and eyewitnesses who were saying and reporting moving lights and discs above pastures and above their homes.
Linda, there is a name for the kind of creature that's able to take any form, isn't there?
From a shamanic tradition, yes, there would be what they would call the shapeshifters.
Yes, indeed. That's exactly what I was after, thank
right.
you. Shapeshifters.
Yes.
Is it possible that it could be that kind of creature?
Well, you know, we are in such unexplored, unknown territory. I suppose anything is possible, but I personally am intrigued by the idea that there is some connection between these creatures that have been linked in several states, even including South Dakota. Big moving lights and these strange big hairy creatures on the ground also associated with mutilations. It's possible that they may have a technological link to what we refer to as the disc craft,
mm-hmm.
or someone else has postulated the possibility that we could be dealing even in some of these cases with very sophisticated holograms that somehow have been engineered to do work on this planet and that in actuality are not strictly biological and have this escape mechanism of going back into some kind of an electronic form if it's threatened in some way. All that sounds like science fiction and highly speculative, but the rancher went far enough to call the Cascade County Sheriff's Office and report that he had shot with his .30-06 rifle right at this huge creature in front of him and that it disappeared in a flash of light.
I don't suppose you still have that sound, do you?
Yeah, I do, and if you guys would like to hear it one more time.
I'm telling you, folks, get out your recorder quickly, hit record. You've never heard a sound like this, and if you ever do, you'll be running. I sure would be. So, one more time.
Here we go, and as you listen to it, just ponder this question, but it remains so. Could these sounds and these Bigfoot creatures be part of the UFO phenomena? Here we are.
Now listen closely. It's coming up here in just a moment, I'm sure. This was a creature recorded. Now listen carefully. Oh, it won't play.
Just a second.
No, we're with you. You may not.
Yeah. you have it.
Linda, there's something about that one. I don't know what it is. It just sends a shiver right up my back.
Yep, and everyone who's ever heard it knows that they're hearing something that is distinctly not a cat. Not a wolf, not a coyote.
No, and I might have even imagined it had glowing red eyes. I'd be gone. Listen, well, Linda, I want to give you a little news on the Roswell front.
Right.
On my syndicated weekly program, I interviewed Ray Santilli from London.
Great.
I spent about 30 minutes with him, and I was sort of impressed with the guy because he unabashedly will say he's coming at this from a commercial point of view. He's not a ufologist. He's a guy who's working on a film about Elvis Presley, for heaven's sake. Ran into the film, and I found, you know, his easy admission of all that to be credible. I don't blame him. That's not saying that the photos are real, but then he gave me permission, Linda, to publish those five photographs in my newsletter.
Right, that George Wingfield and I talked with our Dreamland audience about from Seattle.
I've done a little enhancement work on those photographs, and I'll tell you, Linda, I'm not a ufologist. To me, it's very strange and eerie that this creature is sort of human, but not quite human.
Right. I think everybody has had that reaction. I think one person said, well, this is sort of what I always thought an alien would look like.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
I did.
That's right. You did, but somebody else said that to me also.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, look, a wonderful report as always. Do you know anything about crystal skulls? This is new territory for me. I've got no idea what I'm about to be talking about, Linda. What do you know about a crystal skull?
Yeah. There have been at least two, if not more, that have surfaced in this century. The most famous was, I think it was taken from a dig in Guatemala.
That's where this one we're going to be talking about came from.
And it is perfectly machined. I believe that one even has moving teeth in the skull. And the big question has been, could this be a modern 20th century creation to be planted to cause a big hoax? That is what some people argued. However, others who were associated with that dig and that find insist that where the skull was found was associated with artifacts and layers that simply defied the 20th century explanation. And then, if it is prior to the industrialized age, how could anyone in past centuries have taken one solid piece of quartz crystal and carved it with the fineness of this skull, which you probably have a photo of?
I do.
And do so that even the teeth, as I understand it, could move. I have never held this in my hands. I have talked with people who have, and they say that there is something eerie about its perfection.
Yes. All right. Linda, next week again from Philadelphia.
I'll be back here.
A great report, and do you want to give out any information quickly?
Well, I'm always looking for reports on Bigfoot, mutilations, abductions, crop circles, all of the unusual, unexplained phenomena, and I would love to hear from people at my fax number, area code 215-491-9842. Or please write to me at Post Office Box 538 in Huntingdon Valley, Pennsylvania, zip code 19006. I always keep confidences, and I only share the names of people who give me permission, and the big value is getting reports and getting the information.
Linda, thank you. Talk to you next week.
Okay, Art.
Linda Moulton Howe, pretty generally acknowledged to be the world's expert on crop circles and animal mutilations. Many of you have no idea there is a Senate bill right now, really an existing, introduced Senate bill that will establish a new money, colored money, different colored, multicolored money, ugly no doubt. But that's not the big news. The big news is we get a two-tiered money system. That means one currency used inside the country, another one outside. Now, my sponsor, North American Trading, will send you a copy of this Senate bill free of charge. Now, why would they want to do that? Well, the answer is really a good marketing ploy. They sell gold. And believe me, after you've read this bill and you know what's coming, you'll be interested and know that. So it's easy. Call them. They'll send it to you free of charge. The number is 1-800-877-9799. That's 1-800-877-9799. North American Trading. Try and make use of the last couple of moments before the bottom of the hour to go to Joanne and Star. We'll do that out of the bottom of the hour fresh. I've got some information you need. I just talked a moment ago to Linda Moulton Howe about the Santilli pictures, which are going to be published in our newsletter. These are five separate photographs of what purports to be an alien creature being autopsied, and there's been a great deal of talk about it. I've interviewed Mr. Santilli. We have enhanced versions of these photographs available as of about an hour ago on our bulletin board system. I repeat, enhanced copies of these photographs available on our bulletin board system. In addition, they will be published in our newsletter. So there are two ways to get them. To call our bulletin board is area code 702-727-1709. You've got to have a computer and a modem. And you can download the photographs free of charge at area code 702-727-1709. We well understand most of you don't have a computer. So in the next issue of our newsletter, we're publishing all five photographs by special permission from Ray Santilli in London. If you want the newsletter, it is $29.95 a year. As long as you order now, you'll get the issue with the photos. Have I said enough to get the newsletter? The number is 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278, or send a check or money order for $29.95 to newsletter 740. She's a female. She's going to love flowers. Joanne, you were going to tell us, we've got a couple of minutes here, the scientists, what have they found out?
Sure. Claude C. Snow, who's a forensic anthropologist and Mac was in the state coroner's office there in Oklahoma City, they have studied it. Betty Pat Gatness, who pioneered putting faces on skulls, she has studied it, and they said whatever caused this had such a high technology of just what the human skull was that it's just almost impossible to duplicate. This one's 18 pounds and 2 ounces, and it's anatomically correct from one side to the next. It's carved with 28 teeth with wisdom teeth carved in.
Wow.
And it's got the pineal, what they call the pineal gland. Beneath it, it's the only altar skull, meaning that there's an altar indention beneath it. And what that is, it's got the massatoid bone that it sits back on, and that altar indention is the medulla oblongata that connects our neck to our spinal cord. So everything that we possess in our skull, Max possesses in his, and it's all in the right spot. It also has major inclusions that goes down the cheek line, and these inclusions are so great that they come up through the surface where the surface is slightly cracked open. You can put your fingernail inside of some of these cracks. So this is not considered really the type and the quality of a quartz crystal that a crystal carver would use or could use to carve into with diamond tip tools. They would pass over any number of these major inclusions and it's going to instantly shatter.
Well, they wouldn't have had diamond tip tools back then.
No, they didn't.
Right?
And that's two reasons why that they they realize that the Mayans used them in a ceremony. But again, they're not believed to be created by the Mayans for those two reasons, because they did not possess diamond tip tools that we know of, and there's no crystal mines in any Mayan site.
Do you want to say something, Star?
Well, there's so much to say.
All right. Well, then, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll hold it for when we come out of the top of the hour here. But let's put it this way, Star. You've worked with Max very closely.
Yes.
And I've got two literate ladies here. So, Star, I'm going to just ask you, in your opinion, is Max the real thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I've been learning from Max, I can scarcely find the words to describe, but I will say that my entire life has been totally changed since Max came into my life.
That's a pretty serious statement, aren't
it? Yes, it is.
You should see the letters I get where Max appears to people in dreams and what he's done for all these people.
Well, I once saw a movie about a healer. And it was a wonderful movie, actually, and I can't recall the name of it right now, but everybody in the community, once they figured out that she could heal, demanded to know where the power came from.
Mm-hmm.
And if it didn't come from God, they said, then she must be a witch, and they damn near burned her at the stake. So you two potentials, hold on there just a moment, we'll come right back to you. This is Dreamland. Is a really ancient crystal skull with powers, and we're going to find out about all that in just a moment. Back now to Joanne Parks in Houston, I believe, and Star Johnson. Star, where are you?
I'm in St. Joseph, Missouri.
St. Joseph, Missouri.
Yes.
All right. Again, recalling the movie I was talking about, I don't remember the name of it, but it starred Ellen Burstyn. I think it's Burstyn. And she was able to heal.
Oh, I remember that.
Do you? It was actually a beautiful movie.
Yes, wonderful movie.
However, as you recall, and that's what people are going to want to know here, where this power comes from. And if it doesn't come from God, then look out.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up, because I've written several articles for magazines, and I do believe that Max, I believe that all good things come from God. So I do believe that Max is a gift from God. So I feel that God has given us many gifts and tools in many forms, such as our preachers, our Bibles, our books, to help us all along our own spiritual path of truth. And I believe that Max is simply one of those gifts and tools given to help us along for those who wish to open their heart and mind and receive.
Do you concur with that, Star?
I absolutely do. And I would like to share with you, if I might, a channeling that I received through Max that states very clearly why Max has come to us.
All right.
And this is what I received. I come to you openly in mind and in heart. I come to you through the corridors of time. I come to restore your gifts long forgotten. I come in remembering, and I come in truth. I come in oneness, and I come in gladness. I come with the blessings of infinite love. Oh, turn not away in fear or limitation. Oh, turn not away in disdain or despair. I come with the flame of freedom, everlasting. Let us soar through illusion to the heart of the dove. I hold the secrets, the keys to the mysteries. I hold the pattern, and I hold the plan. I hold open the doorways to illumine the chambers. Open your heart and let me come in. Open your mind and enter the doorway. Cast off all entanglements of time. Open your body to the light of the heavens. Open your pathways to the light of the stars. Open your gifts to share with each other. Open your senses to the sound and the light. Open your being to the unified presence. Reach out to each other. Divine reflection. Divine love.
Well, that sounds like a very beautiful, elongated version of Rodney King's Can't We All Get Along?
That should be it.
Is that about right?
Sure. I get letters from all over the world. People come here from all over the world because they feel that Max has something to offer them. They have said that they feel a healing a healing sensation from him. They stress serenity. They even they have peace of mind and very loving thoughts.
Does everybody get along with Max?
Everybody that I come in contact gets along with Max. There have been a few people who have shrugged and left because they have fear. They have limitations. They have stuff inside of them that they just can't handle because of the skull. Now, this is bad connotations on a skull. This is, say, it's only been within, say, the last several hundred years that the skull has been used, let's say, as a symbol of evil. And why? Well, this is, it's brought on by pirates, modern man. It's a conditioning effect, such, you know, as using the mark on the bottle of toxic poison.
Yes. Oh,
but
is.
If you read and go back, very back in history, the skull was used as a keeper of knowledge. They have the wall of skulls, and I believe, why a skull? People say, why a skull? Well, I believe it looks like us because it represents us. It represents mankind. It's something that we can communicate with because it looks like us.
With the dated age, this skull could not, there was no technology at that time, was there?
Not at all. They have no, this is a mystery like Stonehenge and the Sphinx and the ancient pyramids. They do not know how these skulls are created. They're also cut against their natural axis. They're cut against their grain. So scientifically, it doesn't exist.
That's odd. All right, I've got a question by fax, and we'll get to the phone shortly. Dear Art, would you ask your guest if the crystal skull that she describes is similar in appearance to the one shown at the beginning of the TV series Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World?
That one is that skull is the one in the British Museum.
It is?
Yes. Max is not clear like that. Max shows that he's gone through many, many earth changes. What's happened is, and what causes these earth changes and these cracks is that over eons and eons of time, the rock that Max was carved from, it looks like it appears that it's gone through about, maybe five or six major earth changes like volcano eruptions, heat, and it cracked open, forming these major inclusions and leaving these different earth changes looks in it where there's parts cloudy and parts are clear. And then it would take literally hundreds of thousands of years for each one of these inclusions to repair itself, and whatever carved it carved right through the inclusion.
Boy, that is strange.
So those are clear, and this is what got the scientists so intrigued, because not because of Max's clearness and lack of inclusions, it's because of these inclusions that's got them so completely baffled as to how he was created.
Well, so people come to you in wheelchairs, people come to you with various ailments, and what do you do? How do you handle it?
I let Max do his own work. Max is, I tell people.
You charge, do you charge people for this?
I do not charge people. If they want to leave me a donation, also I have videos, I have documentaries on the skulls, I have books, I have little skulls to stay with Max to pick up his energies. If they want to buy something, that's fine. But no, I don't charge people to come here. I tell people that Max is a personal experience, and that's what he is. He's helped many, many people in various different ways. I can never predict this. It's like going to Lourdes and getting into the water. What's going to happen? So you just don't know. Max is a very, very personal experience, and he's helped many, many people in many ways. But all of them, every one of them, is a personal experience. I have many people come here that are just not sick. They just know that Max is a calling. He opens up the key to the mind, letting some unseen energy force was there, but it just needed a little push. He seems to answer questions for people that, for some reason, those questions wouldn't come before. Now, these are some of those explainable things. I don't even begin to understand Max because of how people relate to him. It's astonishing.
So are you going to continue along the same path? I mean, you tour with Max?
Well, for the first 5 years, before I always called Max again a closet skull, since we didn't know once I didn't know particularly really what I had, it was a learning process, and I had to learn completely about what Max is, what he does. He seems to guide me through dreams. He does say he wants to be with the people. He loves people. He wants
probably,
to help people.
Probably.
And I didn't go anywhere for the first 5 years. People came to me, and I went out a couple of times a year. But just in the last year, I've had so many people calling and asking, please bring Max to our organization, our UFO show, our bookstore, our museum, that I started going out with him two or three times a month.
All right. Has Max been, he probably has bad dreams if Max has dreams about closets. I mean, have you elevated him out of the closet?
Oh, yes, absolutely. He's out of the closet in everybody's heart, and that's what he's going to say.
All right. I would like to begin opening a couple of lines and taking a couple of questions. I am not exactly what you would call an expert in skulls, so I don't even know the right questions.
Yeah, we don't. Well, I'm not an expert either, but I'm just going to tell you what I believe.
All right, good enough for the both of you then. Let's see what we've got here. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Joanne and Star.
Yeah, I'm glad to talk to you. I'm very interested in the healing aspect. How serious is, cancer and that, has it healed, as far as maybe TB, has it healed TB?
Okay.
What serious diseases have it healed by?
When I was working with the healer.
Oh, just a sec. Where are you calling?
From KRAM, St. Louis.
St. Louis, all right.
Okay. When I was working with the healer, all types of people come from all over the world. We worked with cancer people. He worked with my own child. They gave her 3 months to live. She had osteogenic sarcoma, and she was 12 years old and had her left leg amputated to the hip. And it was only 1,500 children live in the United States. The healer worked with her. She touched the skull. They did keep her going, and the tumors completely remissioned from her lungs, and she lived for over 3 more years very well. However, the healer, when he got sick and he could no longer do his healing work, she became sick again and passed away when she was just 16 years old. They've healed all kind of his things there. But I never know what's going to be healed. It's just people. It's almost like the healing comes from within the person. The power of the skull is the healing is within the person who holds the belief system.
May I say something because I do spiritual healing with Max?
Yes.
That what I feel is that Max is programmed with the wisdom of the ancients to sound and light, and that he holds the divine order in there. And so when we can connect the person's energy fields back into the divine pattern, into the divine balance and the divine order, so that the person's energy works balanced and correctly, that then the body has what it needs, has the power of the light to be able to overcome disease.
Okay, these are the things that I hear people who do acupuncture, I hear people who do chiropractic, I hear people who do all these sorts of things say roughly the same things, that it puts you back in line, or puts you in line with some greater force. Are these all similar things?
Yes, they are.
The people that I worked with did work, the red hat, the llama, they did work through the meridian or acupuncture points of the patient's body.
I worked through what is called the axiotonal grid system, which is that invisible network of light, the pathways of light that connect all of the subtle bodies. From the without to the within, from the above to the below.
All right, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Joanne and Star. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
In Medford, Oregon.
Medford, Oregon, all right.
Yes. The question I have is that as far as the scientific measurements of the skull and all that.
Right.
The question is that what scientific proof do you have on the power of the skull?
Well, here's what I think. I go by all the letters that I get and by the people, what people tell me what goes on. I cannot prove that Max does what people say he does. I believe it. Just like I cannot prove that I have a soul, but I believe it.
Well,
Max does exactly what people say he does.
Okay, Joanne, let's try from this point of view. You say there have been healings.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who no doubt are ill, and they've been to the doctor. They've had x-rays. They've had every manner of test, and so that's pretty well documented. They're sick one way or the other.
Yes, and what they do, they tell me that they receive a healing, but they never send me any documentation proof of it. They just said, Max has done this for me, Max has healed me this, and then, of course, a lot of people, I do believe that Max is here for mankind's spiritual growth, so for some reason he seems to touch their hearts and heal them in some spiritual way.
Right, but it would be nice to have a little documentation.
Right, right. I've had lots of people tell me in letters they've been healed for serious things. One person walked in and said she hadn't heard in 3 weeks.
and her ear popped open the minute she got in Max's energy field, because he's been he gives off energy in a 2.5 block radius.
Now, see, that's interesting. Going back to this movie I was talking about, I recall that when Ellen Burstyn would put her hand on somebody,
right,
there would be an actual exchange of heat, a feeling of heat.
That's what they feel off of Max. People who are tuned to the crystal feel this big heat that comes off of him. I don't even try to explain it. I'm telling you that I don't know why these things happen, but it just seems to happen. Are we all nuts? Are we all seeing the same thing? I guess.
Well, what about it? You two, have you both been checked out?
Well, yes, you know what? I get a lot of psychiatrists and psychologists here, and I used to wonder, are they checking me out? Are they checking Max out? And they all just say, no, you're right, and they're right on cue, and they love Max too.
Huh.
Absolutely.
What about you, Star? Have you had moments of when you wondered about yourself?
Well, certainly, because when you're dealing with the unseen forces,
yes,
and the supernatural, what we call supernatural occurrences, of course you're going to wonder about what is real.
Yes.
But what has been just incredible in this journey has been meeting other people who are sharing the same kinds of experiences.
Oh, exactly.
All right, you two, hold it right there. Max, the crystal skull, is our subject. If you want to get in, we'll give you the numbers in a moment. Joanne and Star, are you both there?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, question by fax from Honolulu, Hawaii. Are all skulls made of clear quartz, or are skulls made of, I think it says, fluorite or amethyst or other crystals?
I know of the ones that are made from the clear quartz, like Max. And then they have there's an amethyst skull in a private collection in San Jose, California, one in San Jose, Mexico. These are in private collections, they're small, and they're made of rose quartz. I think that Max also goes to the Native American Indian ceremonies. And one of the indigenous elders there said they had one. It's a black quartz, a black skull. And these people, the Native Americans, also talk about the skulls in time. He goes to the sweat lodge, the medicine wheel, the sacred pipe. And indigenous elders from all over the world have talked about the skulls. They say they come from the star people.
All right. The star people. Interesting. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Joanne and Star. Where are you calling from, please? Whoops. Let's try this again. Are you there? Hello?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
This Dark Bell Show? Yes,
it is. Dreamland, sir.
So I was wondering, what do you think about these people in Chicago that sit in a room and are scared to open a window or a door and die in there because they figure somebody would rob them?
Well, that is not the subject of the discussion this evening. Those are people with a very special disease. Maybe Max would help people like that. I don't know. They're literally, I can't recall the name of it, but they've got to remain in the house. They're afraid to go out of the house. Does Max help with that kind of thing?
Max can help, like I said. He's a personal experience. When people come before him, they have to just make their request, and whatever happens, happens. I've seen all kind of things happen. In fact, he will change colors. I've had him on display at the Whole Life Expos, and he'll start turning pink.
I've heard that, and there are people who have seen things like UFOs in Max, too,
yes,
aren't there?
Yes, it's felt like many people. I've had psychics from all over the world.
So it's a kind
here.
Of Max is kind of a conduit for almost everything. All right.
Exactly. They feel that the rock, before it was carved, it picked up images and vibrations and sound occurring around it.
Yeah. I was just curious if either one of the ladies can try to find, get answers in regards to some of the things that, future things that might happen. We know what we're talking about.
All right, I can even amplify on that one. Ladies, I have a good friend whose name is Gordon Michael Scallion.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of you know the name?
I know the name. Mm-hmm.
You both do, all right. Gordon Michael Scallion has made some incredible predictions. Has Max given anybody the ability to, or has Max caused anybody to look into the future? And if so, what has been told?
To me, no, I don't believe that Max, for myself, is used as like a crystal ball. I do believe he's mainly for a person's spiritual side and their heart and their body and their mind and their soul. Now, several people have said that Max has said that we have to clean up our acts, that he's here for a definite purpose to help mankind and to help him to move along their own path. But, you know, Star might can answer a little bit, elaborate on that some.
Well, what Max has shown me is that which we are moving towards.
Oh, so in other words, Max has shown you. What?
Yes, many people, he has shown many people things.
All right, Star, having said all the nice words about what Max would like us to do, if we don't, what does Max predict?
I don't look at any negativity or fear when I look into Max. I only look at the love and the increase in our awareness and consciousness and oneness. That is the level that I tap into Max for.
Max has shown you, you said, the future.
That which we're moving towards, yes, in our path back home. What I believe is that we are ascending, that we are going back from whence we came. And Max has given me glimpses of the mansion worlds.
I'm sorry, the mansion
worlds? The mansion worlds.
What are those?
Yes, of the higher multidimensional levels that are the promise, the kingdom of heaven. These are the kinds of things that I've seen. And
as described, for example, by Robert Monroe, that sort of ascension?
Yes. Yes, I believe that we are, it's like moving up on a pyramid and coming into greater and greater levels of oneness.
Most people who look ahead see many possible futures, not all of them necessarily pleasant. You either avoid hearing or listening or thinking about that, or...
Well, if people, a lot of people like to focus on fear and earth changes, and the earth is always changing. I mean, I was in California during all the fires. I was in the Midwest during all the floods. I've been in California during earthquakes, you know. And undoubtedly, there's a shifting of form that is happening, a purification and a cleansing. And we can choose to look at all of these changes, which have always been and always will be, with fear, or we can... You know, look at them with more open eyes.
No, I understand that. I'm just trying to figure out. I understand that you're trying to remain positive.
Oh, yeah.
And I commend you for that. But again, so many people, intuitives, say that we're headed down a very terrible path, and that it does not have to be the future, and that the future is dependent on our behavior.
Exactly. Yes, if we focus on love and oneness, then that's what we are creating as co-creators.
I appreciate.
You know?
Okay, I
that's
appreciate.
That's what I believe. But if we focus on negativity and fear, then
you.
That's what we're going to create.
I'm with you.
Our things.
Yes, Star. But a pragmatic, cold view of what's going on around us right now,
mm-hmm.
societally, economically, politically, or you name it, it's a mess. And arguably getting messier. Earthquake activity, strange weather, all the rest of it seems to be intensifying.
Mm-hmm.
If the future is nothing but a bunch of multi-dimensional mansions and all looks cool, then why are we in this mess?
I believe that the lid is being blown up, all of the denial and all of that which has been held inside and stuffed and not looked at for generations and generations, and that all of that is coming out now, that it can be healed.
Fascinating. All right.
That's what I believe.
Stay right there. We'll be right back to you. Lines are open, and we'll be back to you all. Here, so. All right. A lot of people are obviously taking this very seriously. Here's a fax from Anchorage. Art, in April of 86, I had the opportunity to spend some time with the crystal skull in the Museum of Mankind in London. I had known of these skulls since the early 1970s, but had very little information about them. I'm a sensitive. The only information given on the skull was that it came from Mexico. It immediately drew me to it. There was a tremendous power about it. Looking into the eye socket seemed to sort of pull you into it. There was an energy consciousness imbued in it. Is that what you generally hear, Joanne?
Exactly. I hear these same stories over and over again. Exactly.
I guess I was trying, and I'll try one more time, to delineate between sort of a psychic... in other words, I'm trying to find out whether there's the real power in Max, which you both seem to be insisting there is, or whether it's people believing in Max. I mean, I've understood the whole basis of voodoo was
right.
That you could be hurt even by somebody if you believed they could hurt you.
Exactly.
Conversely, you can be helped by somebody
mm-hmm.
if you believe they can help you.
Right. That's what I think it is. Mm-hmm. I believe the power is within the person who holds the belief system.
But
not for other people. That's just for me speaking.
But see, that's taking away from the argument that there is a real and separate power within Max. Or is it
there still might be. There certainly could be. But that, see, this is what we call differences of opinion.
Well, that's true. On the West of the Rockies line, on the air with Joanne and Star. Hello there. No, you're not. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air.
Hello? Is this Art Bell?
Yes.
Oh, Lynn Kindler, are you there?
All right, do it quickly. We've only got about a minute here. Do you have a quick question, sir?
Yes, my name is Jim. I'm calling from Reno.
Okay, Jim.
I used to live in San Francisco for a number of years, and I went to see a psychic in Pinole. His name was Nick Nocerino.
That's Nick.
Yes, okay.
Is this the same man
yes,
that Joanne Parks was speaking of?
Yes.
Oh, may I ask Joanne a question?
Yes.
Joanne, could you elucidate on whether this was the man, I think you said earlier, that this Max had instructed you to seek out?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
And, yes, you're correct.
You didn't go, expound on that. Could you tell me more about him?
All right, sir, she can, but it's going to have to be after the break. Ladies, we're coming up with the break. Was it 2020 or 60 minutes? One of them went down there and exposed the Filipino healers. That's what I recall.
You can't say that about all the Filipino healers. And I will say that in the 5 years that I traveled with this healer, I saw some incredible miracles happen.
Well, I just like to say that I find it very interesting, and I've read about the crystal skulls and all that, but I just have some really negative feelings about Star's role in the whole thing, that's all.
All right, that's fair enough. Star, what have you seen? Just, I mean, really lay it out. What have you seen a healer do? Have you seen a healer put a hand into a body?
I have seen manifestation, and Brother Angel never claimed to be putting his hand into the body. I've seen manifestation happen, and I've seen people who were crippled come into the room.
Star, you're speaking over my head. You've seen manifestation.
Yes. I never saw a hand go inside the body.
So what is a manifestation?
I saw the manifestation of water turn into blood.
Well, that's pretty serious.
But the healer that I worked with was not so much into the manifestation as he was into people believing in the power of God within themselves to heal themselves. And that was the focus of this healer. There are other healers who are into big manifestations. This healer that I worked with was not that way. He worked on a spiritual level.
All right, good enough. The both of you, hold on. We'll be right to you. This is Dreamland. We're talking about Max the Crystal Skull. Zero. Back now to Joanne and Stuck. And to a call somewhere east of the Rockies. You're on the air. Where are you calling from, please?
Oklahoma. I know the late Joe Pine from the Korean War. He exposed some of the people that were cutting the Band-Aids with their hands, and then they were pretending to pull chickens and turkeys out of people's fatty areas when it was already there and stuff. This was a TV show that was on in the 60s.
I remember Joe Pine.
Yeah, well, he exposed, it was called Tony the Phony, and it was in the Philippines. It was somebody who was supposed to be healing, but he wasn't really doing it. They were reaching in the fatty tissue of someone's stomach.
Yep.
Yeah, that was what it was.
Yeah, I remember, Star, you want to comment on that? I mean, they really have exposed some of that as fraud, and if there is some real stuff going on over there, I suppose its credibility has been damaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too bad because the phonies ruin it for those that are real. And isn't it that way always?
And the public is very quick to dismiss. I mean, if a newscaster at the end of a newscast has a report about a UFO and then he does a little chuckle at the end, everybody dismisses it. If there's one report on a fake healer in the Philippines, then all Philippine healers are fakes.
That's right, and that's not fair.
It seemed like the time I met him, I never saw any of that. I thought that mainly Brother Angel was just doing spiritual work.
He worked with the light. He worked with the light. And he was a very great healer, and I saw many wonderful things happen.
Star, I can't resist. Everybody's always talking about the light. A very good friend of mine is named John Lear. John Lear is the son of Bill Lear, who invented the jet, the eight-track, all the rest of that sort of thing. John Lear once told me that he was told, when you die, don't go to the light. The light is a trick. Go to the darkness. nothing has ever bugged me as much. And Star, I thought I might throw that one at you. And
don't go to the light.
That's what he said.
Oh, I'm not going to the darkness.
You're not going to the dark.
I'm going towards the light.
I'm still sort of feeling the same way myself. Very quickly, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Joanne and Star.
Yeah, this is Robert from Yuba City, California.
Hi, Robert.
Joanne.
Yes.
Yes, are you within near presence of Max?
Yes, I am.
Have you ever, or are you able to set up a mental link between him and others?
All right.
I'm trying to contact. Need to speak with him.
I understand. This I can't resist. I'm going to hold it till after the break. All of you stand by. There is some power imbued in crystal, and
well, it has that energy.
I must admit, I would like to get next to Max myself for a little while. What of the people that approach Max, not the psychics, not the sensitives, but normal people,
right?
And you tell them this story, I'm sure, because it's sitting there in the Max box, and
sure,
everybody can see
it,
so they come over to the house. And what do they get out of it? Are there people who come over and say,
yes, they just sit there and they think nothing's going to happen, and then all of a sudden they approach it, and they start touching it, and they start feeling this energy field coming off of it. And then some people feel absolutely nothing, and they write me weeks. It's a delayed reaction. They write me weeks and months later saying, well, I didn't think anything was going to happen, but all of a sudden it hit me like a bomb. He appeared to them and told them something. Sometimes they don't remember what it is, but I feel that Max is like calling in his loose fragments, if that makes any sense, that he's calling the people, and all of these people who come into contact with him and come into his presence, they're all little loose fragments around here that he's calling back into presence to tell them something, whether they remember it consciously or unconsciously. It's like the shepherd calling in a sheep. He's for some reason calling in these loose fragments.
I admit there is some sort of drawing, or you feel drawn. I've got an extremely good photograph, the one I'm going to put on the bulletin board or publish, and you feel it's the doggonest thing. You feel drawn to it.
Like he's got lost keys, and you were part of those keys, and he's finding keys to the puzzle.
Yeah, it's really weird. First time caller line, you're on the air with Joanne and Star. Hi.
How you doing tonight?
All right.
I was curious if they've ever thought about having all the skulls pulled together in one spot to see what kind of power would come about.
Yes. In fact, that was one of Nick Nocerina's dreams, is to have all the skulls to come together at one time. However, the skulls don't want their million-dollar artifacts out of the museum, and they won't cooperate. So Mitchell Hedges' skull and Max was the only skulls that have been together.
Well, I really appreciate you being on the air tonight.
Where are you?
Elma, Washington, Art.
All right. Thank you very much. So, a meeting of the skulls.
A meeting of the minds.
We would love to see that happen.
What do you think would happen? Anybody want to guess?
It's no telling what would happen.
A lot of light.
A lot of energy, certainly a lot of, it would be like a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Better than 100 megahertz Pentium, huh?
Probably.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Joanne and Star. Hello.
Oh, hello, Art.
Hello. Where are you?
Are you up pretty good here?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Where are you?
Oh, good. This is Edward from LaSalle, Illinois.
All right.
I find this really fascinating tonight. I wonder, there's a lot of question about Max's origin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have you ever considered the fact that if you knew what's the face that matches the skull, whether it was a model or whether it was the original person or being who owned the skull, so to speak, if you knew what that face looked like...
You mean, was it a self-portrait?
Was it a self-portrait, or was it a portrait of an ideal type, of the type of person who, the craftsman that crafted the skull?
Or are the ancient skulls, the 13 of them in the world, not terrestrial in origin at all?
They're not, well, they're all believed to be terrestrial by some people, but they're all different in size and detail. There are no two alike.
That's also odd. Some of them have moving or even detachable mandibles?
That's the Mitchell Hedges skull in Canada. It was found in Guatemala. It was found in British Honduras, which is Belize now, beneath a collapsed altar. And the jawbone was found 3 months later. It has the moving jaw. Most of the other ones do not have moving jaws. They're all in one piece.
Fascinating. First time caller line, you're on the air with Joanne and Star. Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, where are you?
I'm in Destrehan, Louisiana.
All right, well, you're on the air.
Wonderful. I'm calling tonight about the skull.
Yes.
And what I wanted to ask is, I was doing some research, and the question that Star had said that the skull had held some secrets and that it had keys to the mysteries and open doors of chambers. And I had did some research about masons, and they're associated with skull and crossbones and Egyptology.
Mm-hmm.
And then Egypt, you know, Egyptology is associated with pyramids and chambers. So I was wondering if this skull had any relation to this type of thought.
All right.
Well, when we take photographs, research photographs of the skull, you can see various images in it. You can see pyramids, several pyramids under its nose that goes back inside. You can see something that looks like Bigfoot. You can see underwater scenes, inner earth scenes. You can see extraterrestrial that sits in its eye. You can see UFOs.
Matter of fact, in the photograph I've got here, you can see a couple of things. And maybe the more you stare, the more you see, I'm not
exactly
sure. But it is odd.
Yes, it will come in and out. It's like the rock has picked up sound, and like I said, an image and vibration occurring around it in time, and its program is there. And for various people, dealing with them being intuitive, when they sit and touch the skull, they will, it's like a flashback. They will pick up these images off of it.
Strange. All right.
One of the things that's really interesting, as I mentioned, I was just down in the Yucatan, and I noticed that Max's nose indenture is shaped exactly like the Mayan arches in the sacred sites.
Well, that is interesting.
It was amazing when I realized that.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Joanne and Star. Hi.
Hi, my name's Marshall. I'm from Princeton, Minnesota. It's about 50 miles north of the Twin Cities.
Yes, sir.
I'll save my compliments to you for another call because you got a guest. I want to know if Max has any visions for the future about our future life and stuff like that.
Okay, we kind of covered that, sir. I appreciate your call. According to Star, only nothing but the good, right?
Well, what I've seen in Max is from whence we came, and that's the same place that we're going back to.
Yeah, but that's like saying dust to dust.
Mm-hmm, and light to light.
Well, I don't know that I'm fully comfortable with that. Ladies, stay where you are. We'll be right back to you. Positive, higher dimensions, but, you know, somehow or another, that sounds like the end of this physical life. And I think that's what I'll ask when we come back, which will be in a moment. You don't have to put up with it. Well, I know a lot of you do, but you don't have to. What am I talking about? Hard, foul water. That's right. hard water gets into everything, it fouls it up. You know what I mean.
The glory continues to allow Max to be a joy and inspiration to many thousands of people to come.
Well, I find that you do not charge to be a credible thing. Both of you, Joanne Starr, thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
All right, good night. And you'll be hearing from people. You're going to be hearing from people. All right, again, the Roswell photographs are due to appear in our newsletter. And I'm not exactly sure when the deadline is, so I'm telling you, get in now. Get the newsletter now. It's just $29.95 a year. Max, we will try to get a jig picture whisked together of Max. He is very odd, and we'll get that on the bulletin board and maybe in the newsletter. If you'd like to order the newsletter, the magic number to call right now, or 24 hours a day, you've got to get it done. If it's